from Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee. This is the Tennessee Star Report with Steve Gill and Michael Patrick Leahy.
And welcome in. This is the Tennessee Star Report. Steve Gill, Michael Patrick Leahy here with you. If you go to TennesseeStar.com on the web, that's TennesseeStar.com. You can find links to some of the stories that we're talking about today. Also go to Tennessee Star on Facebook. If you've not already liked our Facebook page at Tennessee Star, please go do that. We were talking in the last segment a little bit about our new site, BattlegroundStateNews.com, that details a lot of what's going on in these 17 battleground states that will determine what happens in 2020, both in terms of control of the House, control of the Senate, and more importantly, control of the White House. If you'll go to BattlegroundStateNews.com, that's BattlegroundStateNews.com, you can find those stories from around the country, those battleground states. And on Saturdays, here on Talk Radio 1510, 98.3 FM, at 9 a.m. on Saturday mornings, you can hear, I think it's going to move to 8 a.m. In the next few weeks, but you can hear the Battleground State Report, where we actually talk about some of these stories with Michael, Doug Kellett, and other guests during the course of those hour-long shows on Saturday morning right here on Talk Radio 1510.
And this Saturday, tomorrow, we'll hear from our North Carolina reporter, A.P. Dillon, about what's going on in North Carolina and that crazy 9th Congressional District where they still haven't certified the election.
They've got 434 members of Congress right now because the 9th District in North Carolina still has not been certified by the North Carolina Board of Election because they think there's been some misconduct that went on in that race. Not enough that they would actually investigate other congressional districts around the state that similar activities took place with the Democrats,
that
you saw this kind of misuse of the law in other states. But that doesn't get investigated. It's just if a Republican win that you get the incessant investigations. By the way, speaking of investigations, one story that I will post up at Tennessee Star quickly. A four-year Senate investigation. This is from the Washington Examiner this morning. A four-year Senate investigation finds that U.S. Marshals Service is plagued with corruption. Now, let's see, 4 years, that would be back into the Obama era, where they found that wasteful spending, favoritism, nepotism, and sexual harassment were just a commonplace level of misconduct at the very highest levels. Sadly, those highest level people still remain in place because both President Trump has not filled them with new people, and the Senate, with Democrats delaying themes, have delayed the appointment of not only U.S. Marshals around the country, but also a change in the senior leadership, and just lavish offices, contracts, costly but rarely used facilities, people giving unpaid leave to allow them to get full retirement benefits, sexual harassment, prostitution solicitations, and in one case, an employee forged a judge's signature on hundreds of subpoenas. The dark state, the deep state, the problems at the Department of Injustice, at the FBI, also bleeding into the U.S. Marshals Service, there needs to be a cleaning of house in every one of these agencies that have to do with law enforcement at the national level. And the sooner Trump and his team get started on it, the better.
Yeah, they haven't got started. And this goes back to one of our themes with the new administration: personnel is policy. And the president, people like his agenda. That's why he was elected. But that agenda has not been implemented in many departments. Why? Because Obama administration holdovers are still there.
And the ones that Donald Trump has put in place, both the circle around him when he brought in the Republican National Committee establishment types, the Mitt Romneys of the world that inhabited the senior level of Trumpville in the White House, and the agencies around the country, they put in the rhinos, the establishment types, and left the Obama holdovers in place to undercut the Trump agenda, and he's paying a price for it.
Absolutely.
That's our concern. I mean, people ask, why are you beating on Bill Lee so much? Well, because personnel is policy. And if you want to enact conservative policies, you need to put in people who believe in those policies, believe in that vision, who will work hard to implement it. If you put people who aren't buying into it, but are simply wanting a high-paid job, who are rhinos, Republicans in name only, who are fetal position Republicans, who are establishment Republicans, or Democrats who do not buy into that conservative vision, then you're not going to see that vision fulfilled. And I know Bill Lee is naive and has no clue how the political arena works, but he ought to be listening to some adults who do understand it. And it's not just the fact that he is listening only to apparently those folks that supported him during the primary. And keep in mind, he only got 36% or so of the Republican primary vote, which means 64% of Republicans, Bill, did not vote for you. Now, they liked you better than Carl Dean. You know, going full left extremist wasn't what they wanted. But you only got 36% of the Republican primary vote, which really sets you up for a primary if your whole next 4 years is focused on, I'm going to cater to the 34%. And I got to tell you, as you don't hire conservatives, as you don't follow conservative policies, you'll start eating into your 34 to 36%.
Yeah. Up next, Holly McCall, chairman of the Williamson County Democratic Party. She wants to be the chairman of the Democratic Party of the state.
Do you think she'll hire a bunch of conservative Republicans to help her?
We'll ask her.
the Tennessee Star Report with Steve Gill and Michael Patrick Leahy.
And welcome back in. This is the Tennessee Star Report. As always, go to TennesseeStar.com. You'll find links to some of the stories that we're talking about today. We talked yesterday with the incoming House Speaker, Republican Glenn Cassada. And today we thought we'd give you the flip side with Holly McCall, who actually ran against Glenn Cassada for that state House seat in Williamson County a couple of years ago. She is the chairman of the Williamson County Democratic Party and wants to be chairman of the Democratic Party for the state of Tennessee. Mary Mancini has held that position the last, 4 years. And Holly has said she wants to bring some new blood, some new energy, and maybe some new tactics to play since, again, the Democrats ran their best statewide candidates we've seen in decades, well-funded in Carl Dean and Phil Bredesen. A lot of their self-funding made them able to really communicate broadly. And yet the Democrats' full push for gaining seats in the state House and the state Senate provided a net gain of one state House seat, which changed, I guess, the dynamic from Republicans having 75 out of 99 seats to 74. I guess, Holly, that's your case. We're not winning, and we need to change, you know, the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, and the head coach if we want to get back on a winning track.
Spoken like a true UT fan, Steve Gill. How are you this morning, gentlemen?
Doing good. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Holly.
I'm really glad to be here.
How do you change things up in the Tennessee Democratic Party when the National Democratic Party keeps moving so far, so extreme to the left? I mean, you know, you've had Democrats win in Tennessee who were basically conservative Southern Democrats, and what the Democrats, it seems to me, have lost in Tennessee is those rural and suburban conservative to moderate Democrats, because the party nationally has moved so far to the left. How do you reverse that trend in one state?
Well, it's not going to be easy, and you're absolutely right. I suspect if I do win, I will be no favorite of the DNC's because their messaging is killing Southern states. I think Georgia's faring a little bit better than we are, but I actually look to the Republican Party in Tennessee, strangely maybe, but as a model for success, because growing up here in Franklin, Tennessee, I remember when Williamson County was not always as red as it is. It was more of a 50-50 county. And Republicans were very smart about building from the base. Took them 20 years. They picked off county commission seats and board of mayor and alderman, and here we are today. So one of the first things I propose is really going back to that grassroots, like hyper-local grassroots strategy.
But don't you have to have issues as the focus? I mean, to me it seems that the Democrats in Tennessee for the last 20, 30, 40 years, They were gun owners, proponents of Second Amendment. They tended to be more pro-life than pro-abortion. They tended to be in favor of lower taxes, not higher taxes. And again, when you've got the Democratic Party nationally and in the state moving to the left where LGBTQ issues matter more than farming issues, it's kind of hard to get those conservative Democrats back in the fold.
It is, and messaging is probably the toughest issue we face, and I don't think we've been focusing on that enough. I had somebody reach out to me. They were very upset. They'd gotten an email from the Tennessee Democratic Party talking about getting rid of coal. Well, this was somebody from East Tennessee who works with TVA, and coal is very important to their business. So, yes, we've got to hammer that in, and I think you're correct. There still are many Tennessee Democrats who they'll still vote Democrat, but they are pretty conservative for Democrats, and we've got to try to change the message to show that what we care about here in this state, if not in Washington, are people's rights, the right for you to have a hospital in your hometown and the right for you to be able to afford to get health care for your family and not just a job, but a good paying job so you can put food on your family's table. And, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt was considered a radical for the time, but I think you need to kind of go back to that message of we're more about the economic issues and a chicken in every pot.
Holly, this is Michael Patrick Leahy. Question for you. When will the election be held for the state chairmanship?
It is January 12th, so a week from tomorrow this all goes down.
And how do you, I mean, I know how in the Republican Party you've got the state executive committee that votes, so you're really just catering to, I don't know, 60 to 90 voters are going to determine this, not the broad brush of Tennessee Democratic Party voters across the state.
Yeah, and that's pretty much how ours is done, too, which makes it tough. I think it's 72 voters total. You've got the 66 members of the state executive committee and then the ex officio House Caucus chair, Senate caucus chair, Democratic women, young Democrats, college Democrats. And it makes it a tough sell because I'm really finding, and I know people come on the show and blow smoke, but there's a lot of grassroots support for change, for some change. You know, Mary Mancini's a fine person, but again, after 4 years, if you lose, there's going to be a movement. But, you know, the executive committee sees one side, and there are some people who also won't change, but there are a lot who are very pleased with the way things are going. So,
please count me among that because I'm very pleased with how y'all are doing it.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm going to try to get a clip of that and shop it around for the next week. But yeah, I mean, it's like with any race. Mary's got the power of incumbency on her side, and she's built some strong relationships, and it's still going to be a tough sell, but I think it'll be very close.
We certainly hope that we have conflicting feelings here, Holly. You talk to us, and you're a sane and rational person. And,
thank you.
But, you know, Mary doesn't talk to us, nor does her spokesperson. He just says bad words about people like us. And so we're conflicted. I mean, we would be able to have you on and talk to you periodically, but we like how poorly they're doing, and we want Mary Mancini to continue.
Well, I mean, you just said something very interesting to me. This is part of what I think is wrong with America these days. Like, we've gotten to where we don't talk to each other. You know, I've got plenty of Republican friends, and that we do not talk to each other just based on party politics is a problem. And there's no way Democrats are ever going to convince people that we are sane if we don't come on your show, for instance, and let other folks hear. Like, so people can hear that I am not some flame-throwing radical. And it kind of, that makes me sad that you do not get to talk to state Democrats more often.
But when you look at part of your challenge, I think, Holly, is you look at the national Democrats. You look at the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes, who are getting all the limelight. You look at this new Muslim woman elected from Dearborn, Michigan, Tlaib, mm-hmm. who goes on screaming, you know, apparently after telling her son the same story, that they're going to impeach the MF-er in the White House, when that's what people see and hear from the Democrats at the national level. How do you convince them that Tennessee Democrats are more sane than what they're seeing at the national level?
Man, I don't have all the answers, and that's tough. And there are a lot of media outlets, not just like Fox is telling one side of the story, but MSNBC and CNN, they're telling the same story. So it's pretty hard to escape that. And that is a huge challenge. Like, I had not heard that she used that language, which I find appalling. You know,
perhaps worse, she claimed she was telling her young son that's what they were going to do. She was just recounting it to MoveOn.org. So this is how she apparently talks to her kids. If this is how Democrats talk to their kids, and this is, by the way, a woman who paraded around, who's an anti-Semite, who's anti-Israel, anti-Jew, and on election night paraded around with a Palestinian flag rather than an American flag. Again, I don't know. I mean, if y'all paid me huge consulting fees, Holly, I would have to tell you, I may have to turn down the gig, because I don't know what the answer would be of how do you overcome letting Maxine Waters and Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and these others, they are capturing the spotlight. And how do you convince people in Tennessee that y'all aren't crazy when all they're seeing at the national level is crazy?
I don't have the answer to that. We've got.
And if you were paying me a lot of money, I wouldn't have the answer for you either.
Well, I mean, it's true. Like, I think Tennessee, Southern Democrats have always been different from Democrats in the rest of the country. And I do think you can reconcile being progressive. As I said, I think progressive values are more about giving people rights, but that's also the right to get health care, et cetera. But I think it's going to be tough for us to get that reconciled, because you're correct. People do see what's being aired nationally, and I got some calls during the Kavanaugh hearing. I got a call from a gentleman who said, well, I've voted Democrat before, but I can't vote Democrat because I don't like what I'm seeing on TV. And let me be clear, I am a Yellow Dog Democrat. I think I might have voted for a Republican once in my life, but I do.
And that was probably when I was running for Congress years ago in Williamson County. That was probably me. Right?
Did you want to get Spark Gordon?
Yes, I did.
I do remember that, but yeah, it probably was you, Steve. But I am a Yellow Dog Democrat, so I want listeners to be clear that I truly support all Democrats. I would not be running for the Tennessee Democratic Party chair if that was not the case, and I'm very loyal. But I also am realistic about recognizing we've got some huge issues, and I don't have all the answers, but you're absolutely correct. Unless we get that messaging and perception change, we're going to have a tough time with any tactics.
And get back to debating the issues rather than the name-calling, whether it's coming from right or left. I mean, when you've got, you know, Democrat new members of Congress, you know, referring to the president as an MF, when you've got Republicans that use, and again, including President Trump, sometimes using foul language about Democrats or fellow Republicans, that's not how you debate the issues. You mentioned health care. We can have a debate on whether free health care is going to lower the cost of health care and make it more accessible or not. But that's the debate we ought to have, not me calling you a name or you calling me a name.
Correct. And you did mention something that I'd like to point out. I do think that President Trump has definitely escalated and elevated, and he's made it easier for other people to use ugly names. I can't not be on here and say that his Twitter feed is just appalling. Like, if I had a teenage son who tweeted the stuff he did, I would, as my sainted mother would say, jerk a knot in him. And I mean, that is when the president of the United States uses language, and you hear stories about you know, porn stars and affairs and payoffs. I mean, I think
it's, are we talking about Bill Clinton? Or are we talking about Donald Trump?
We're talking about Trump right now. Let's stay in the present.
And by the way, so Holly, are you justifying the bad language of Congresswoman Tlaib yesterday?
Not at all. Not at all. I think we're just in a really ugly pattern of history. But I do think when the president of the United States uses language like that, it has made it seem more acceptable for other people. And that does not mean that it is appropriate by him or her. I would be appalled if a candidate in Tennessee.
I don't think he's used that term to describe anybody.
Well, that's fortunate. That would be one of the few. But you know, yeah, we've got great candidates in Tennessee. We had a strong slate of legislative candidates. Carl Dean is just, I'm sure y'all know him, and you might disagree with him.
Karl Marx Dean?
Now you stop that right now.
There's that name-calling and tweetering. Holly, good to have you with us, and good luck
in your
election next week. We'll catch up soon. We'll be right back. This is the Tennessee Star Report.
Now, back to the Tennessee Star Report with Steve Gill and Michael Patrick Leahy.
And welcome back to the Tennessee Star Report. It is 7:33 here on the Tennessee Star Report. Michael Patrick Leahy with Steve Gill. I think Dr. K is usually scheduled with us. I don't think he's going to be with us today.
No, he's got a conflict. He's actually out of the country today, so he's not going to be able to join us for this Friday football forecast. But we could talk a little bit about that. We've got plenty of other things on the table today as well. Let's touch a little bit on, though, that Monday night game. We'll talk a little bit more about it Monday, but you've got Alabama and Clemson. You know, it was interesting when we were talking with Holly McCall, she mentioned, you know, that she feels like looking at what the Republicans are doing feels a little odd because the Republicans in Tennessee are winning and have been winning big. I don't think there's anything odd about that at all. If I'm Coach Pruitt at Tennessee, if I'm any other college football coach, I'm looking at what Nick Saban and Dabo Sweeney are doing and saying, I want to try to do what they're doing. I'm going to try to replicate what they're doing in terms of recruiting, in terms of training, in terms of nutrition, in terms of offensive scheming and defensive setup. You try to figure out what those teams that are doing, that are winning, are doing, and then you try to replicate that. And I think that Holly is on the right track to say, look, Democrats in Tennessee, if we want to get back to winning, need to look at what the Republicans are doing in Tennessee and try to replicate that. Now, where I would disagree with what Holly had to say is that it is not a matter of, I think, exclusively the messaging and how they convey their messaging. It is the message. And as long as Tennessee Democrats are having to carry the weight of their extreme left, both at the national level and in the state of Tennessee, when their party has become isolated to inner-city Memphis, inner-city Nashville, and extreme liberalism, you're not going to win back those suburb and rural voters who tend to be, you know, Christian-based. How can you run a campaign that's going to win those Christian, blue-collar, Democrat, Second Amendment, unborn loving baby Democrats backed into the fold when the whole party apparatus is focused on pro-abortion, pro-gay rights, you know, higher taxes? That's what their agenda is, and that's not going to win those voters back.
Abolish the Electoral College. They have two members of the House of
Impeach
Representatives.
Impeach the president with no charges.
Yeah, or no evidence.
We lost. We aren't going to accept that.
Yeah, that's a tough battle for Holly to persuade her fellow Democrats to actually enter the land of rationality.
And it's a dangerous political setting when you look at Dianne Feinstein, who is by no means a conservative, but she was challenged from the left and had to move further left in California because the extreme crazies that dominate the Democratic Party nationally in California and, frankly, in Tennessee are moving that party further and further away from the voters and just talking the talk, like we're seeing in Washington over this wall. Oh, we're for border security. They can't answer the next question. Well, then what do you mean by that? How would you improve the security at the border when you want to abolish ICE, have open borders, and not build a wall? They can't answer the practical questions. And I think that's the problem for the Democrats in Tennessee and nationally. And again, we were talking about the tenor and tone of politics these days. When you've got Lamar London, the brand new state representative from Memphis, calling all Tennessee voters racist because they don't agree with her viewpoint, that's not the way you're going to win back those white, southern, rural, conservative Democrats.
Yeah, it's a bit of a problem. I think Mary Mancini, who has led the Democratic Party to, you know, electoral disasters here in Tennessee over the next 4 years, I don't think she views the world as one in which Lamar London should not be saying those things. I have no indication. She's not reprimanded her.
Or the disruptions that we saw with the Democratic Party at work at Marsha Blackburn's campaign events. Or the fact that they were pushing Phil Bredesen based on a lie, that you had their own campaign workers admitting, oh, he's not really for Kavanaugh. He's not really for the thing he's saying. He's not really going to be a moderate centrist Democrat. He's going to be a radical left winger. That's why we're here. You have a campaign, you have a political party that is built on having to lie to the voters to win.
And long before Congressman Tlaib yesterday used that the worst of the expletive deleted words to describe the president yesterday before a cheering group of MoveOn.org activists. Here in Tennessee, the communications director for the Tennessee Democratic Party, Mark Brown, used similar language to describe Tennesseans who support the president. Now, we didn't have a chance to ask Holly if she would change her team. You're talking about sports. You know, there's a team that wins, they keep their management team together. If the team loses, they fire the head coach, they fire the assistant coaches. So here in Tennessee, they're losing. Both the head coach and the assistant coach haven't performed well. We didn't get to ask her if she would change the entire team.
And again, as we pointed out, I hope the Tennessee Democrats, as a conservative Republican, I hope they keep the same team in place, keep doing what they're doing.
I do, too. I mean, you know, I suppose it wouldn't be fair for us to endorse Mary Mancini.
I think Michael Sullivan, the executive director of the Tennessee Republican Party, has. I think it was tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, it's funny, but it's true. And there's no indication to me that Mary, and she's by the way welcome to come on the show if she wants to, or call us 615-737-9522. We've had Holly on, and if she wants to come on, we'll certainly talk to her and explore these issues with her. But it doesn't seem to me like she really wants to win anything here in Tennessee. I think what she wants to do is be in the echo chamber, the MSNBC echo chamber of moral superiority, which plays well in Davidson County and Shelby County and, what, Hayward County? Three of the 95 counties? I think she's got lock on those three counties. The other 92? No.
And when you look at the Democrats nationally, I mean, again, we're fond of pointing out the facts, the figures, the truth. In New York State, which is, you know, one of those dark, deep blue states, it's a dark, deep blue state because of New York City and all the people that are living off the government, living off the taxpayers in New York City that make that a blue city that overwhelms even the rest of the state of New York. In the state of New York, in the last presidential campaign, with Hillary Clinton being from New York, a former senator from New York, she carried the state of New York outside of New York City by only 750 votes over Donald Trump. The same thing's true when you look at California. You get outside of Los Angeles and San Francisco and look at the rest of California, it is red. So we've got the isolated urban liberal bastions of the Democratic Party that are dictating their party and dictating now their country. And again, as a Republican, as a conservative, oh, I want the Tlaibs. I want the Ilhan Omars. I want the Ocasio-Cortezes. I want the Maxine Waters. I want the Sheila Jackson Lees. I want those folks to get as much airtime as possible, not only because they really do damage to the Democratic Party and repulse and repel the regular American voters across the country. But I want them to get that time because that is what the Democratic Party is about. They can try to cover it up as they did during the campaign by saying, oh, we're not going to be focused on impeachment. And what's the first thing they do? Go right to impeachment. Democrats have to lie to win campaigns. And once you lie your way in, then you've got to govern. And that's what the problem that the Democrats under Nancy Pelosi in the House are going to have. You can lie your way into office, but then you've got to start delivering. You've got to actually start putting forth what you would do and putting it forward in a clear way that the American people can understand. And just talking border security when illegals continue to flood across isn't going to be an answer that's going to play well in Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Arizona, or all these other places when you can only blame Trump for so much when you now control the House. And you've got to start putting up your proposals.
Yeah, absolutely. Having said all that on the political side, I suppose we'll have to make some picks about the Alabama-Clemson game on Monday night, the national championship.
Look, I'm going with the orange team. Is that any big surprise? I'm going to go with the orange team.
You're going to go with Clemson.
I'm going to go with Clemson. I like Dabo Swinney. I love their quarterback. I think, again, I love Tua as well. Typically, I'm going to be for Southeastern Conference schools during the bowl season because that elevates the conference. It demonstrates that it is the toughest and best conference in the country. But in this case, you know, Saban's won enough. Let's let Dabo get another ring.
I'm going to go with the Crimson Tide, Alabama. I think Saban is a proven winner. He's got the formula down. He has Tua. I think he's a better quarterback than Lawrence, who's a good quarterback.
Now, if you're asking who I think will win, I'm going to say Alabama.
Okay.
But if you're asking who I'm for, I got to cheer for the Orange team.
I'm going to cheer for Alabama.
We'll talk in a moment. This is the Tennessee Star Report.
Tennessee Star Report with Steve Gill and Michael Patrick Leahy.
And welcome back to the Tennessee Star Report. You know, Elizabeth Warren is in Iowa, and we have a good friend from many years ago, a leading attorney in Iowa, a Democrat, Jim LaRue, on the line with us. Jim, welcome to the Tennessee Star Report.
Well, thank you. It's been a long time. Nice to hear from you.
It's been a long time. We went to college together. We were roommates in Washington, D.C. one summer when you were working for Senator John Culver.
That's right. You know, you may know that we just lost John. He died last week. He lived just a fantastic, wonderful life. But
well, I'm sorry to hear that. So we've taken divergent paths. I've become very conservative Tea Party, and I think you've become more of an activist, continued to be a Democrat in the past decades. Elizabeth Warren is visiting Iowa today. She's going to be in Council Bluffs. What's your take on the Democratic field and how Iowa looks at that field here in 2020, Jim?
Well, it's terribly interesting. We enjoy the privilege, and I think we're aware of the privilege and take seriously the privilege of being first in the nation. We know that there's a certain winnowing process that happens here in the field and in each caucus season. And so activist Democrats are pretty earnest about it. They look at things carefully, try to give everyone a chance, and participate in fairly high rates. So we're excited about it, I'm sure, and I think Elizabeth Warren will get a lot of careful, enthusiastic scrutiny, but others will too. My guess is that the field won't be completely settled until long into the process.
Now, have you been courted by the various presidential candidates? Because you're very well known in Iowa. I remember you've worked all across the state as an organizer many years ago.
I'm not a big deal in Iowa, but I do pay attention. Kamala Harris was at my law office a couple of months ago, and we chatted, but I can't tell you that I'm someone that they court. And here's the magic of Iowa. We're sort of politically a level field, and there are no kingmakers here. Campaigns rise and they fall as quickly as the campaign is over, and you have to start all over again. It's partly because we have no center of gravity politically in Iowa, and we're a jump ball. We're clearly a purple state, so even between the two parties, candidates have to struggle hard for the vote. I think that's good. I'm describing a situation which I think is a good thing. But even amongst and within parties, as soon as one political figure ends a career, it's a complete jump ball and no kingmakers from one to the next. So I think, when Jimmy Carter came here way back, those were in our years, in 76, and I delayed going back to college to help him out way back there. That's the 75, 76 cycle. We were so unaccustomed to visitors running for president that we were flattered, and a politician could, shake a hand and win a vote. It's tougher here. These candidates come out and, you'll hear things, and I'm not even just making this up. They say, well, I've seen candidate X, but I'm not sure because I've only met him and talked to him four times, and he's only at our house twice, It's a tough, tough crowd. And I think that's how Elizabeth, I think she'll be given a warm welcome and a careful look, but so will the others, and people won't decide for a while.
Jim, Steve Gill here, and you cited exactly what I've seen in New Hampshire over the years where, again, people will say exactly what you said. Well, they've only stayed at my house three or four times. I'm not sure I know them well enough to give them my vote. And the rest of the country, they only see these people on television. It is hand-to-hand combat in Iowa and New Hampshire. It is these caucus processes where it puts a premier on organization and on that personal touch. As you kind of look at the 20 or 30 Democrats that are talking about running right now, who do you see as people that will fare best in that process in Iowa?
Well, I don't know. And I think both parties, we saw that happen the last time with the Republicans. And this is not, although I'm not a great supporter of the current president's policies, I would analyze his success less ideologically and more on a certain factor that could affect the Democrats. That is, I think when you have those years when we've had, say, three or four candidates contending for either party's nomination, you have a greater likelihood of a serious issue discussion that accompanies the campaigning. So it's some combination of personality, who is the candidate, do we like him or her or not, but then it gets down in the course of the campaign to a serious discussion of issues. But I think there's something about the collective mind, just how many variables can we absorb? And I think when you get an awful lot of candidates, it switches from, at some point, is it six, is it seven? I don't know. But it's somewhere around there where you flip from the potential for a serious discussion of issues and you leapfrog into an issue of celebrity. And I think that a celebrity can be any number of things. At the very least, it's well-knownness for well-knownness sake. And a person can be a celebrity because they come from an acting or, you know, some kind of non-political background, or it can be an established, well-known political figure can establish that. If that premise is true, then the prediction would be not based on something like celebrity, but which of the field, which person or persons have the most celebrity, who will break out of the field on that basis early on. And if you're talking just that way, you can sort of name people who have that right now in the party. It ranges from Joe Biden, who's very popular. I don't know whether he's going to run. But my goodness, it could be
Jim. We're against a hard clock. Jim, thank you so much for joining. Will you come back here? The Iowa lawyer Jim LaRue.
Yeah, anything for a friend, and I would enjoy it.
Thanks so much, Jim. You're listening to the Tennessee Star Report. Back on Monday, Mike Patrick Leahy and Steve Gill.